before we get started, some of you have told me this is your first candlelight service ever, so I told them that they wouldn't feel any sparks or any special hoodoo feeling or anything. It's more about just what it represents and things like that, and Brother Derek had it all planned out, and then he went and got sick on us, so we'll remember to pray for him. And so I'll try my best to fill in for him, and then he had several specials lined up, and some of them got sick, so we're last minute, just a second ago, made some changes. And so just relax and pray for us, and we're going to do our best to help us have a good service. The Lord will show up and have a blessing on the service. So let's all stand, take our hymn books, and we'll go through this order here. Let's turn to page 423, Joy to the World. Sing all four verses.
Joy to the world.
Appreciate you being here tonight, and we got some guests here. Thank you for coming, and I'm sure your relatives are excited about you being here. And we do have many, many people out of town as far as traveling, so let's remember them as we pray here in just a minute for them safely. I believe they've all made it safe to where they were going, but let's pray that they have a good time and the Lord keeps them safe traveling back home. And then we do have many, many sick as well. This thing's going around. I've been drinking DayQuil and NyQuil, trying to ward it off. I don't want it. And let's pray that those of us that don't have it don't get it, and those that have it, they get over it quickly. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and we do thank you for this time of the year. Lord, help us to always be doing our part, Lord, to remember it all throughout the year. But Lord, especially at this time, Lord, we thank you for coming and dying for us and making it possible that we could be saved and go to heaven when we pass away. And Lord, we do ask you to be with all the traveling that goes on during this time of the year. We ask you to keep everyone safe from injury and from accidents. Keep your hedge of protection around them and their vehicles. And Lord, I ask that you keep them safe as they travel. Be with the ones that are sick. Lord, I know there's several people watching tonight, Lord, that they'd rather be here than at home sick. But we do thank you for the opportunity they can see on live stream. And we just ask you to help them to have a good time, even though they can't be with us. But touch their bodies, give strength and healing. And Lord, I just ask you to be with the service. Lord, I just ask you to, Lord, the most important thing is you coming down and meeting with us. And we have the promise of the Bible that where two or three are gathered, that you're in the midst. And so we just ask you, Lord, to most of all get honor and glory out of what we're doing this evening, the songs that we were going to sing, and the candle lighting, and the picture that it pictures. And Lord, I just ask you to, Lord, help us to enjoy ourselves and fellowshipping with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
All right, got just a couple of quick announcements. Of course, tonight, again, we're having our candlelight service. And then next Sunday, the 31st, we've got Evangelist Hagen Adams going to be in with us. Be good to have him back. And then January the 7th is our kickoff Sunday, kicking off the new new year, their new theme and all that. The pastor's got it all lined out for us, so looking forward to get that, and then the calendar, what we got coming up for the 2024. And then the 17th and 18th of January, we've got Evangelist John Hamblin going to be in with us. And I think that's it as far as announcements. Thank you.
And if you didn't get a candle, Brother Raji will make sure you get one. So, and then as we leave tonight, of course, as we finish the song, we can all blow them out. Don't have to be at the exact same time, but we do have a metal bin that we'll put them in, let them cool off before we throw them in the trash can. We don't want to really set the whole house on fire. So but what I'm going to do tonight as far as my sermon, I'm not going to wait till the end of the song service to preach my sermon. I'm going to just kind of pop in and out here between the songs. And my thought was on this was to kind of maybe bring out or remind us of the truth of the song that we're going to sing or we just sang. And the power of music is very powerful, and it's been used in a lot of ways to help remember things and to help teach things. And that's why the Bible says to sing hymns and spiritual songs. And that's what they did in the book of Psalms. They were just songs, and they would sing them over and over and over and over. Why? To get them in there, to put them in. And that's the way we are. We can hear a song, and we'll be singing it all day long and not even realize it, and or humming it or whistling it. That's the power of music. And so God knew that. He created it. And so He's put it out there. All of us in here, even from the oldest to the youngest, probably could sing, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I won't, you know, put you through that, but I can go all through all 26, and then I could say, and now I've sang my ABCs, won't you come and sing them with me? It's just in there. We learned it in kindergarten and so forth, and some of you even maybe remember the capital song, the nation's capitals. You got a song that you can sing all the nation's capitals, and if you can't remember that one, maybe you could remember all the presidents, and they keep having to add to that one. But anyway, you might sing all that. And then, you know, on TV, there's these what they call jingles. And I think it was Peyton Manning wrote this and showed Brad Paisley how to sing it. You know, Nationwide is on your side. I think that might be the opposite way. You know, Brad's probably a little bit better songwriter than Peyton. But anyway, but you know, all of us, have, you know, Nationwide is on your side. And they've changed it, you know, I'm a way better singer than you or something like that. They just keep singing back and forth. But that's singing. And they're trying to produce a commercial or an advertisement out there with song. And a new one these days is at BK, have it your way. All right, everybody know Burger King, all right? And that's what and so they just sing it. And I remember Nabisco back in the day, and they had all those little jingles. Why? To get their product out there, to help it stick in your brain. And, you know, on your phone when you're trying to Google something or play a game that you like to play, ads pop up, ads pop up, ads pop up. There's some of them it takes like 16 different moves to get the dumb thing to disappear. I would on purpose not buy from those people just because of the aggravation to get rid of their ad. All right? If it just went away with a little X, I might remember that one. But anyway, that's what it is, advertisement, advertisement. They're trying to get, I guess, knowledge out there. And so, of course, people wrote these songs under the help and the leadership of the Lord, especially if it was about the Lord, things like that. And we just sang Joy to the World. And the truth in there, it you know, it says, let earth receive her king. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all, everybody, should come to repentance. And so, let earth receive her king. That's what Joy to the World is. There's other things out there that'll bring a little bit of happiness, but it'll fade away. But Jesus, you ever get Him, and it'll never fade away. And that'll be true joy, and that's what He did. He came to the world to bring joy. So let earth receive her king. And then it said, let the Savior reign in that same song, Joy to the World. Let the Savior reign. That word reign there is not like you put an umbrella up. That reign there is kind of like a king reigning or being in charge or being in control. So what will bring us real joy is to receive Him as our King. Then it'll bring joy to us to let Him have rule. In other words, let Him dictate what we do in our life. Let Him dictate what we look like, what we sound like, what we do. If it says here, let the Savior reign. This is what will bring you true joy. It's over and over. Let the earth receive her King. Let the Savior reign. And it said, let not sin nor sorrow grow in that song. Let not sin or sorrow grow. Of course, in the Bible, there's a portion of Scripture that talks about, I guess, the seed growing, some falling on stony ground and not taking root and it not growing at all, it just withered away. Some fell on decent ground, but the thorns came and choked it out. That's exactly what we're supposed to receive the King, let Him reign, and don't let sin and sorrow grow anymore. Pull those weeds out of your life if you need to. Then it says here, let men their song employ. In other words, if you found the King and you're letting Him reign and you're not letting sin grow, tell everybody about that. And that's what it says here. Let men their song employ. Talk about it. And then it goes on in the verse and the chorus, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. You know, again, if you're a Christian and people at your workplace know it or your relatives know it, they know you're just going to keep repeating the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. I know you're a Christian. I know you love Jesus. I know. And that's exactly what joy to the world is all about. And so that's my first point. My second point will be after this song, so let's grab a hymn book. And we won't stand for all of them, but we'll just go ahead and sing this one sitting down. And we'll do sorry about that, tricked you. 429. 429, hark the herald angels sing. We'll sing the first, second, and the third. First, second, and the third.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
For helping me. So in this one, obviously the whole the hark thing, we don't say hark much these more. We might say, hey, we might throw that out there, or psst, or listen, or you know, clap our hands. What we're trying to do is grab the attention. And so again, we're not supposed to go out there and bring attention to ourselves. Hey, look at me, I'm super Christian, or hey, look at me, I've got it all figured out. No. Maybe get their attention to talk about Him. Talk about that newborn glory to the newborn King. What will He do? He'll give us peace on earth. He will let God and sinners be reconciled. He came that no man no more may die. He wants them all to live in heaven with Him. And then He was born to give us second birth. And of course, that might be a little confusing. We might have seen a statement, if you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll only die once. That's biblical. If you're born one time, the second death will be being cast into the lake of the fire. You'll die physically once, and then you'll have the second death cast into hell. But if you're born twice, if you're born physically, and then you're born spiritually, you get saved, you'll only have one death. And you might not even have that one if the rapture takes place. We'll go ahead and skip that part, amen? I'd prefer to go that way. But anyway, that's what this song is there. We're supposed to get everybody's attention and to tell them that great news. All right, at this time we're going to have a special. Miss Tiffany's going to come play the flute, and Miss Sharon's going to play the piano. and bless us with "What Child Is This?" and "Sing We Now of Christmas." We've been sitting down for a while, so let's stand and we'll turn to page 424. 424. Oh, come all ye faithful. We'll sing all three verses. Thank you for that special. That was beautiful. This one, "Oh Come All Ye Faithful," and of course we saw, I believe it was in the Sunday school lesson this morning, about a steward. That's what God requires of a steward, is he's found faithful. And anybody can be faithful. We can just be determined, okay, I'm going to show up, I'm going to do the right thing. And that's the most important thing, is to be faithful. And we ought to be a faithful witness, we ought to be a faithful Christian, always do and say the right thing, and we ought to do exactly what God wants us to do. And so we ought to be faithful. And that's something that we ought to decide to do. Maybe it's a New Year's resolution. Okay, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. And then it says here in this, "Oh, come all ye faithful." And then it says to come and be joyful. In other words, anybody can be there, but not just anybody can be happy about being there. Sometimes you might have been told, "We wish you would have just stayed home." We know you're faithful, but you're hard to get along with, or you're aggravating, or you get on everybody's last nerve. But it says here we ought to be faithful, but then we ought to be joyful. I've mentioned it several times. My dad's, rule of obedience was obey right away. Not when you feel like it, or not when you get around to it, or not when you're finished doing what you want to do. When he said take out the trash, he meant right then. And then he had this other insane rule. He wanted me to be happy about it. In other words, whistle while you work. Be excited about taking out the trash. It stinks. I gave that job away a long time ago when I had two teenage boys. Now I got it back. My wife won't do it. Goodness gracious. But anyway, we ought to be joyful. So we ought to be faithful, but then we ought to be joyful. And then it says here we ought to be triumphant in this song. Not only be faithful at it and be joyful about it, but be triumphant. What's that mean? To have, be victorious over it. We're going to have to be faithful, and you're going to have to fight to be faithful. We ought to be joyful, and you're going to have to fight to be joyful. We can get depressed. We can look at the glass half empty, or half empty instead of half full, and things like that. We can always be pessimistic instead of optimistic. So you're going to have to fight over that. So that's you can be triumphant. And I guess our three worst enemies, we've always heard it, our own flesh, all right, this world and its philosophy, and the devil. And so, oh, come all you faithful, and while you're being faithful, be happy, be joyful, and be triumphant. Don't let your flesh or this world or the devil defeat you. And then it says here we ought to sing. And some people say, well, that's where I draw the line, because nobody wants to hear me sing. And you might like singing in the shower or in the car by yourself, things like that. But we ought to all sing, make a joyful noise. It didn't say it had to be pretty. It just had to be a joyful noise. And we ought to sing about the Lord. And we ought to give Him glory for being the Word of our Father, the Bible. We ought to give Him glory for that. And it says here, now for flesh appearing. So in other words, He came and was born. He appeared as a baby. And then He came and died on the cross. He appeared, flesh appearing. And then He rose back to heaven. So we ought to give Him glory in that. So, and then it says in the verse, oh, come, let us adore Him. Adore Him from what? Adore Him for coming. Adore Him for being the Word of God. And adore Him for dying and paying for our sins. So at this time, we're going to have another special. And you ready? And so she's going to come play a piano special. She's played this one, I think, every year for a long, long time. This is my favorite Christmas offertory that she ever played. And so I asked her to do this one. And she didn't want to. But I like to hear it. So, amen.
Thank you.
At this time, Brother Rodney is going to come and read the Christmas story for us.
All right, got your Bibles. You want to follow along? We'll turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We won't read the whole chapter. We'll just go through verse 20. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was a house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
All right, that was the greatest story ever told right there. So my wife was, she's going to sing that here in just a minute, that song. So I think we'll stay seated for this one. Let's turn to 421, and we'll stand for the last one here in a minute. 421, the first Noel, we'll sing the first, second, and the last. First, second, and the last.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. In fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night. Noel, 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 Noel.
truth in this song. And Noel, obviously, you see it around Christmas time. They just put it up there, Noel. And of course, there have been people named Noel and so forth. But this Noel is kind of like the definition of it here is mention. Like, you know, did I mention or have I mentioned? This is what I would like to say. And so that's what it's saying here. Mention this, and mention this. Don't let this story die. Always mention it. And that's what this is talking about. That first mention or that act or that citing of or the calling of attention to. That's what that this is mean. So what are we to learn from this? That there were certain poor shepherds in the field, of course. You see a nativity scene and you'll see the babe in the manger, Mary and Joseph and a few animals, and you'll see the shepherds. And then the three kings. Of course, they were supposed to follow that star. And some people, they don't like the three kings to be in the nativity scene because they say they didn't make it there. But you know, they could have started before he got there. We don't know. But anyway, we're supposed to do what they did, though. They followed him. They followed that star. We're supposed to follow them. Then when they got there, what did they do? They bowed their knee. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Even these people that say, I don't believe in God. One day they will. It'll be a sad story if they don't get saved, but they will. It says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So we do have a loving God that gives us chance after chance after chance and opportunity after opportunity to get saved. But one day He will be that judge. And I mean, it talks about His feet like fire. His eyes will be like lightning bolts. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ. But these guys, when they got there, they just did it. They bowed. This is Him. This is who we came to find. This is who the star led us to. So we ought to always have a bowed knee, humble. Again, I think you can pray without bowing and without closing your eyes, especially if you're driving your car and trying to pray. Don't bow and don't close your eyes, okay? I know you could blame it on texting. I was just texting and driving. No, but you can pray and God will hear you, but it's just a reverent thing. Bow your knee at night on the side of your bed. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a great day and keeping us safe. Maybe bow your knee before you leave. Thank you for keeping me alive while I was sleeping. I have another day to live. Bow your knee. And then it says here, they offered Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And of course, we all know what gold is, and frankincense maybe, myrrh. But these were things that was given to a king. And so forth. And so he was a little bitty baby boy, but he was the king. And so we ought to obviously offer him. And of course, we all gave an offering today, our tithe and our offerings to missionaries and to vision and things like that. We give unto God and so forth. And we ought to all do that. So this is what Noel, having mentioned that we ought to follow Jesus, bow to Him and make offerings to Him. And at this time, my wife's going to come and sing that song I just told you about, the story, the greatest story ever told.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw, these tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God. Told. shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold, a visit from the Magi to a humble family, help tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery.
We'll sing one more song, so let's go ahead and stand. And we'll turn to page 261. 261, not known as a Christmas song, but obviously it's what Christmas songs suggest that we do. Page 261, turn your eyes upon Jesus. We'll sing the first and the last. Comments about this, and then we'll darken or dim the lights and have our candlelight while we're singing Silent Night. And they will be projected up here, so you don't need that. Try to hold your hymn book and your candle, okay? But turn your eyes upon Jesus. Obviously, it was right there slow enough for you to get the message. If you're weary and you're troubled, what are you supposed to do? Turn your eyes on Jesus. Are you going to be weary in this world? Yes. Are you going to face trouble in this world? Yes. Ourself will make sure of that. The world's philosophy will make sure of that. The devil will make sure of that. And what are we supposed to do? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and He will help you through it. And of course, like Paul, he had that thorn in the flesh. He asked Jesus to remove it 3 different times. Please remove it. And the Lord told him He was not going to. But He said, if you'll just follow Me, or if you'll trust Me, I'll help you through that. And so if you're weary and in trouble, which we will be sometimes, best thing we can do is turn our eyes upon Jesus. And then it says here, His word will not fail you. He promised. I hope you caught that phrase. Because when that trouble comes and that weariness comes, that's where we're supposed to run. We can't see Jesus. We don't have a telescope that strong. All right? But you can run to the Bible and see His words and hear the Holy Spirit give you what He promised. It'll not fail you. Then it says here, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Some things, those of us that had a past and we had to have those certain things that we lived for, those certain times that we lived for. But you get saved, turn your eyes upon Jesus, make Him the most important thing in your life instead of your vehicle or your hobby or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you make Him the most important, those things just grow strangely dim. I thought you was a rabble-rouser or a partier and you always had to have, just doesn't do it for me anymore. Why? Because I've turned my eyes upon Jesus and those things are growing strangely dim. And so that's what we're supposed to do, and that's going to be one of these things about the candle. The brighter our light, the more dim it is out there in that world. I'm going to read you a couple of verses about light and shining and things like that. The Bible actually does say in Psalm 18:28, "For thou wilt light my candle." So this is not something we just made up or say, hey, candles are in Christmas time. But no, the Bible says here, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." So in other words, He'll shed light on it. If we're having trouble, go to the Word of God. He'll shed some light on it. If you're having a difficulty in time, in life, go to the Word of God. He'll shine some light on it. And so He will light your candle. And of course, these are very familiar verses. Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." All of us have probably ran through the dark without a flashlight, not very successfully. Spider webs. The worst thing I've ever hit running in the dark without my flashlight was a guide wire. Oh my goodness, they don't move very much. And I just, it kind of almost decapitated me. But anyway, flipped me anyway. So you don't want to run through the world without a light. So the Word of God is a lamp through our feet and a light into our path. John 12:45, "I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." That's why Jesus came. He came as the light of the world. Our church's, motto verse, Matthew 5:14, "You are a light of the world, a city that's set on a hill and cannot be hid." We're supposed to be a lighthouse. The light represents the Word of God shedding light on our path, and we are supposed to be shining lights unto this world. So, what all does lights do? Here's four things that I see that lights do. Number one, they reflect. Of course, you know the story and how that the reason we can see the moon is because the sun is still shining on it, and it's a reflection. And of course, if we've been saved, of course, we have the light living inside of us, and we ought to be a reflection of Him. It also projects an image. I remember when I got a flashlight for being in the Cub Scouts. I got my flashlight, my little badge, and my little scarf and things like that, and I came home, and I was trying it all on. And my brother and I, this is my brother that has passed away since, but he slept on the bottom bunk, I slept on the top bunk. And I took that light and I shined it on the ceiling. And he thought that was cool. And but then, as a big brother does sometimes, I took my hand and started going over that light. And it reflected an image of a huge hand on that roof. And I told him it was a monster coming in the room to get us and all this kind of stuff. And so, just like brothers will do. But it projected an image. And so, obviously, when Jesus saves us, we're supposed to project His image. Light shines. And sometimes a light brings warmth. You don't see this a lot in Florida where we used to live, but you drive up down the roads here, you'll see a chicken coop out there, and there'll be a light on inside of it. It's probably to keep those chickens warm, or at least the eggs warm so they don't freeze. But light brings warmth. And so when Jesus shines light, this is what it does. It reflects. It projects an image. It shines on our path, and then it definitely will bring warmth. So, Brother Raji, if you'll come, at this time, Brother Todd, if you'll dim the lights. Oh, you got you another one? I got the one off there. Forgot it. You go ahead and put that light, the words up there for us. we'll just sing it a cappella. Amen. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. About that. Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll blow out the candles and we'll be finished with the service. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for everybody that's here tonight. Lord, we ask you to be with the ones that aren't, whether they're out of town or sick. We ask you to touch them. And Lord, thank you for a good service you gave us. Lord, I just ask you to help us to remember all the truths of the songs now as we sing them and hear them throughout the rest of this season. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. There we go. And Brother Roger will have the metal pan there in the back. And as you go out, you can drop them in. Thank you very much for coming. Boom!